The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
In this awesome episode of Mind Pump,
it was awe-inspiring.
We talk about Justin's storytelling.
I have a gift.
Ability.
Yeah. Sal's rambling.
We talk about how much me and Adam, I threw you in there, buddy, have a tendency to maybe ramble, and the importance of chemistry between hosts. We knew Mind Pump would be excellent because we were all super attractive to each other when we first met.
We were.
Then we get into the questions of this Q&A episode. The first question was, is there such a thing as squatting too low? Believe it or not, the answer may surprise you. You're going to have to listen to this episode to find out.
How low can you go?
Then we talk about a gentleman who does not like treadmills and ellipticals, but loves going out and playing sports. How do they compare? Which one's better for fat burning? Then we answer the question about whether or not women should eat and train differently based on their cycle, or as Adam liked to call it in this episode, period time.
Yeah. Men can menstruate.
Then we talk about breatharians. It's this new diet people are doing, or lack thereof. And we talk about how stupid it is. If you're considering doing this,
it's made up.
You're probably an idiot. Listen to this episode to find out what we really think about it. Also, this month, we got a great promotion going on this month. Enroll in any program, any MAPS program or bundle, and you will get access to our forum absolutely for free. So if you're just getting started off and you'd like the foundational strength program, enroll in MAPS Anabolic. If you are somebody that's interested in overall mobility and athletic performance, well, the program is MAPS Performance. If you want to get on a stage and look your best, or you want to train for a particular event and you're aesthetically driven, then enroll in MAPS Aesthetic. If you want a program that doesn't require you to go to the gym, you enroll in MAPS Anywhere. Enroll in any of those programs, you get the forum for free, including MAPS Prime or MAPS Prime Pro. The place to get these programs is mindpumpmedia.com. Everybody put your hands together.
Hey.
For Baby Cakes Justin and his new song. His new song, Run and Starve.
All it takes, girl. Run, starve yourself.
Run, starve.
Starve. Run, starve.
Dang.
What is he doing?
It's a song that he wrote.
Yeah.
We were, he was on Instagram and
he was looking, better earlier.
He was looking at some popular fitness people.
Yeah.
And it's just terrible.
It just came to me.
He was singing about all they ever teach is to run and starve.
That's pretty much the formula, right?
And he made up the song.
It's
that
the formula.
Was really good the first time he did it.
Run, starve.
It's not good anymore.
Did either one of you get to the post I saw this morning on the forum? I was just about to answer it when we were getting ready to do some work here, where someone was asking about her running dilemma she's having.
No.
Did you read that?
No.
Oh, damn. I almost want to I think it would be a good topic because she's probably not alone. And I saw she wrote quite a long post. I did see several people.
Don't you hate it when, like, you make a joke and then immediately feel bad because there's something that's, like, you know, struggling with that?
With what?
I totally made
I feel like a fucking dick
with
now.
Running and starving.
Yeah. Yeah. It was totally a joke.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Well, no. That's what you're saying is don't do that.
I know. I'm just saying. Yeah. Just putting it out there.
Let me find it here.
Could you give us a general synopsis?
No, not really.
Synapse.
Well, I think this is a great time to segue to the side effects of marijuana usage.
Oh,
stupid.
One of the number one side effects is memory loss.
This forum moves too fast, dude. You can't keep up with it.
I got CTE. Adam has other problems.
You'd have chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
No. How many, Sal, how many times
did I say encephalopathy? Yeah.
How many times do you think you check this thing a day now?
The forums?
Did you see that latest
10, 15
study?
It has to be
111.
What?
The cases from the NFL. You know how many had CTE?
How many?
110.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Wait a minute. What they do? They did it like autopsies of 111 people who died?
You know what? That's a good question.
But they tested 111 players.
Tested, yeah.
And 110 of them had signs
I'm pretty sure it was just a test. I don't think they did autopsies.
Of CTE.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
That sucks.
Either way, it was alarming to somebody like me who's got their head bashed in for like a decade
So like when, I don't know, 20 years ago, were you like a brilliant linguist?
Oh, 100%. I had like the best stories. You know what I mean?
You were a great storyteller?
Like everybody would just gather around and somebody would make a fire. I would wear this like special jacket, like a smoker's jacket.
Because you're a very intelligent guy. I love working with you because you're a very, very smart guy. And what you're telling me right now is this is what we're experiencing is retarded, Justin. You
yeah,
were smart
man.
Before.
I'm telling you guys, I was
Holy
on another
shit.
Level.
You must have been.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
and
like,
a good storyteller too.
Yeah, people gather from you know the hills. They would know they'd like, somebody would mention you know oh look out yonder,
Justice
about to tell us an epic you know tale of heroing conquest.
You know what I catch myself doing? I don't know if you've ever done this before, but when he tells stories, especially ones that I know,
yeah.
I'm like I'm wanting him to get the story right so well.
Adam's always like revving up, like he's like posturing,
I'm
like trying to like turn it up.
It's like he's at the point of orgasm.
Yeah. I want to jump in and save the story. I know it's a good story. I've heard it before. Let me help you tell it.
I have a bad habit of
sometimes I lean on people for that.
I have a bad habit of thinking this in my head when people tell a long story. This is what I'm thinking in my head. To make a long story short.
Yeah.
And to make a long story short. And I just keep saying that over and over again. Like,
yeah.
You can quickly.
You have to be engaging with it, right? That's
you say that when somebody else is telling a story?
I'm thinking that. I have said that too. Like people will tell like a long story, and I'll stop them in between. Like, so to make a long story short,
it's all about how you tell the story, though, right? Like if you can engage people for a long time, even if it takes a long time to get the point, I think it's okay. It's when you ramble.
Yeah,
it's when you ramble. It's bad.
Mm. Yeah. Who's the
I ramble? I know I ramble. For sure.
I think you and I both ramble.
Yeah. Do you?
He's a rambling man.
So I told Katrina the other day. You and I got interviewed the other day, right?
Oh, and you were trying to see who rambled more?
No, she asked me.
I'm always making a competition. I'm the most rambler.
Who's the ramble? Let's have a ramble off.
Is that a car? Was there a car called a Rambler?
Tumbler. No.
Yeah. There wasn't a Rambler.
Yeah. Rambler. Was there?
That just sounds. It just sounds like a small squirrely car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of quick, but not fast. It's like a rambler. Anyway, sorry, Adam. There was no rambling going on just now.
Yeah, that was a high guy thought.
Katrina was asking me about
take it over, high guy.
Our dynamic on the radio, right? And she goes, you know, you guys don't practice. You don't do any of this stuff. Like, how do you know when to talk and when not to talk? And was it really hard for you when you and Sal did that interview the other day? Because she was asking about it, right? And she goes, was it really awkward and weird? And I was like, no, it was totally fine. And I said, you know, Sal and I were on the same page, you know, and she goes, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, I've now done so much time with both of you that I know, and I know them so well, right? So I can tell when Sal is just filling dead air or he's actually making a solid point. So when he's making a solid point that I think is really powerful and people should hear and they need to hear.
We pump the brakes.
Of course, I keep my mouth shut. And then normally it's very natural conversation, so you don't have to do a lot of thinking. But every now and then, I'm not sure if he's done. But then I'll catch him rambling for a few minutes, which it sounds like rambling to me. But for average people, it probably sounds really good because he has that gift. But it's really I know he's filling dead space. Like I go like, oh, he's circling the wagon and like repeating himself now. Like now I'm going to interrupt him.
I just know immediately when you're going to search for a word. I'm already like going through my Rolodex ahead of time, you know, to help you. So I have that ability. Yeah.
So what Adam is trying to say.
Exactly. Calculator. I'll just throw it out there.
He's a rambling man.
Yeah.
I mean, but I, you know what though? If someone doesn't pick up on it, I have a bad time and I will. I'll keep going and going and going and going. And sometimes I know.
Yeah, you'll say the same thing, but in a different way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's
which is actually I do the same thing. It's a hallmark of a good salesperson, because the goal is to communicate this one fucking idea. And if you didn't get it this time, I'm going to tell a different story that says the same
that's
thing.
That's why I said that's what's referred to as circling the wagon, right? Mm-hmm. So I just keep that's what I
but
mean.
Think
by,
about that from an educational perspective. You know, somebody's not going to digest it completely, you know, the first time around. And Adam's going to come in and hammer that point home, and boom, it, you know, it makes sense.
That's why it's effective communication, right? It's like I'm going to tell you one way. Hopefully, I picked up a majority of people, and then another way, and then another way. And it's the very same process.
It's like you say a point, and then someone goes, no, I still disagree with you.
No,
you go,
you're wrong.
Okay, but check this out.
Wait, what about this angle? Yeah.
So
about it's
this
the same
this
angle.
Is what led me to tell her, like, because I was telling her, like, very confidently, right? And she's like, you don't know that much. That's how it goes. I said, absolutely, I can totally break down.
Okay, what you're doing is you're breaking down what happens naturally.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's what happens naturally, and
you
then afterwards.
You just explained that, and you came in and reiterated. Just
right.
Said,
so,
you fucks.
Yeah. But what it is, though, is.
We share a dick.
You guys.
I told her sometimes we're really on fire and sometimes we're not. I said there's absolutely times where we're just off a little bit, and sometimes that could do with one of us and our energy. If so, one of us has got a lot on their mind outside of here coming in, then it's like we're just a tiny, we're still on, but it's off, right? And I said, giving an example is what will happen when we're on. Like I was telling her this interview for this, for example, that's what we're talking about. I could tell we were on. Was it was just, you know, fact after point after point of each person back and forth seamlessly without any break. At all, without either, I think, losing anybody either by going too deep, too far, overwhelming people. And I said, when that happens, I think it's really neat, and I can always tell. And then there's other times, like I said, when, you know, if I, and I know it when I do it, I know I'm like, fuck, you know, I should have went in when I thought I should have went in.
Has there ever been dead air on this show? Just
right
that.
There.
Yes! I knew you guys were going to do that.
Discipline.
God damn it. Well played, sir.
I swear to God, we're all connected. I wonder how many lifetimes we've lived together.
Mm. I was definitely a warrior.
I think you were our kid.
I was the best kid.
We were so proud of you.
I was the highest performing kid.
We were so proud of you, too. We're like,
I know.
He's the best kid.
Just
ever.
Nurturing me. just feeding me from your bosom.
You definitely have your father's glutes. You don't have my glutes.
Well,
do you guys not
which
agree?
Which one of you is.
Do you not agree with me, though, Sal? Do you ever? I know you listen.
Totally.
You go back and you listen, right? Can you tell when that energy is going, or right after an episode when we do something?
I've called it, if people will say chemistry or whatever. It was the first day we all met. We all sat down and it just worked out that way. And probably the most difficult thing for like Doug to do when we are doing something is to try to like rein us in, because we just go, and it's our strength. It's also can be a weakness, but
absolutely.
On a podcast, it's a strength, because what are you supposed to do on a podcast? You're supposed to talk and go off on tangents and discuss things and elaborate on things and go deep on things. And afterwards you can analyze it, but while it's happening, it just tends to happen. You know what I mean? As soon as the headphones go on, and then the microphone goes on.
You can analyze it real time and talk about it.
It's just a great time.
Well, it also, our strength feeds into, I think, and here's where luck always plays a role, I feel like, in business too, is that, you know, it's lucky at this time, I think, that the whole being transparent message, you know, and that is on the rise. And it's real soon here, it'll be the norm.
Oh,
right?
Dude.
It'll be the norm, because you'll have to.
I'll tell you what, it's so much more liberating. You know, like the stress levels are way down when you can just like be who you are and not put up this whole facade and everything. It's just like so refreshing.
Well, if you think
I
about
it. I wish more
it,
people would do it.
If you think about it, that's our weakness. Not being real, but trying to be fake. Because if, let's say, a company, I don't know, came on board and was like, hey, guys, I love your show. You guys are going to be huge. We're going to pay you guys millions of dollars, but here's what you're going to talk about on Monday. Mm-hmm. Here's what you're going to talk about on Tuesday. Here's what we're going to plan everything. Yeah. You have to look like this. You have to say
that's like nails on a chalkboard.
We would suck.
Yeah.
We would be a terrible podcast.
100%.
It's very much like we just have to do our thing, because we even tried a couple times where we have a podcast up and we're like, okay, this is what we're going to talk about.
This is the formula.
Yeah, and it just we're like, all of a sudden we have loss of words. Don't know what to say.
Like that's going to happen.
No, exactly.
Doug, bring on the yogi motherfucking bird, please.
This quaz brought to you by Organifi. For those days you fall short on getting your organic veggies or whole food nutrition, Organifi fills the gap with laboratory-tested, certified organic superfoods to help give your health and performance the added edge. Try Organifi totally risk-free for 60 days by going to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. And use the coupon code MINDPUMP for 20% off at checkout.
All right, our first question is from Mark Wolves. Is there such thing as squatting too low?
Get that butt
you
low,
squat
girl.
Too low.
This is a good question because I know that we talk about this a lot and, you know, we've all been working towards it. I know those that have been following my journey, I've been working towards this. But I do think it's important to note that it takes time. This is not something that you just go do. Like, if you haven't been squatting low your whole life and never stopped, because most of us were doing it as toddlers, and then as we've gotten older, we've lost that ability to squat really low. So if you kept that entire time, well, then you can go as low as you can possibly go. But if you're somebody who has lost that over years and years and years, you don't go from, I can barely break 90 to, oh, I see the guys at Mind Pump talk about going deep squats. I'm going to go right to doing deep squats. Like, you need to be able to work up to that.
The short answer to this is yes, you can squat too low. If you squat below where you or lower than your body has the ability to control with good tension and good stability and good mobility, you have squatted too low. The idea with exercise and range of motion with exercise is to constantly train within and test the edge. You want to dance on the edge. You want to find your edge. You want to play with that edge, get better at the edge.
Strengthen that end range and express it further.
Exactly. So it moves further. And then the next time you work out,
that's
you
why
can
this
move
takes, it.
It
takes time.
And it not only does it take time, but it's actually a difficult thing to manage if you're a performance-oriented individual, because Adam and I have both hurt themselves because we felt good going lower and doing better. You know, I just did it recently. Like, I'm now completely focused on mobility and range of motion for my lower body. I talked about it on a previous episode, and I tweaked my knee because I didn't listen to this particular piece of advice. I got excited that I was able to do this assisted pistol squat and get down all the way at the bottom.
I wish I was there.
And then the next day, I didn't even feel it while I was doing it. It was just the next day I went to go run. I got my nephew visiting right now, and I'm like, oh shit, my right knee is a little tweaked, and that's what happened. And so I squatted too low. If you the key, remember that, here's the thing. There is this ideal form, an ideal range of motion that you're looking for. But there's also the ideal range of motion and form that you can do at this moment. Both of them are different. So if I take somebody with limited range of motion or a problem with their knee or their hips or whatever, there is an ideal range of motion for them right now. There's an ideal form for them right now. And it may not look like the perfect eventual long-term range of motion and form, but it's what's going to work now. It's what's going to get them there the safest way and the most effective way.
There's a real easy way to test this. I mean, we included this in MAPS Prime. If you take a PVC pipe, you know, so all you have to do is take a, you know, 5 foot long PVC pipe,
broomstick,
whatever, run it down your spine to where it's touching in three places behind your
nodule
head.
Of your head. Yeah.
Yeah. Behind your head, your low back and your mid back. You should be able to maintain those three points of contact all the way to the bottom of your squat. And wherever you lose any of those three points of contact, that's your range of motion. That's your range of motion right now, you know, because that you want to be able to maintain those three points of contact as deep as you possibly can go. And as soon as you break down in form, you'll lose it in one of those three areas. That's why it's such a great test.
Yeah.
So that's a really easy way to see, am I going too low, and where that point is at, it'll be right where you lose the contact to the PVC pipe. And this is why we included this in Prime is so, one, you could assess, and then from there, when you break down somewhere, so let's say, for example, like I already know where I would break down at the very bottom of mine, I start to lose my thoracic mobility and I get a slight forward head. So the top of the PVC pipe separates from the top of my head. That tells me that I need to address things in zone one. So we split the body up in zone one, zone two, zone three. And I know that when this disconnects from the back of my head, I need to address these movements to help me. So this is why we did that.
Well, let's talk about that too. Like if you do lose connection, kind of what that means. So like as you go down and let's say like all of a sudden now I can't maintain like core being involved and I'm relaxing, I'm arching my back just a little bit. Just think about that, like when you're in a situation doing that with a backloaded squat where you can necessarily do it. You can get through the rep, but now all of a sudden now your core is a bit disengaged and you're utilizing, you know, your joint to absorb a lot of this force. Whereas, you know, the most effective way, like if you could stabilize your spine better, it's going to like improve the overall performance and you're going to be in a safer position with that.
So I can already hear people right now who are thinking, yeah, but you know, I don't know if my form is perfect, but if I do it all the way down, it doesn't hurt. So maybe I can do it all the way down. It doesn't, because since it doesn't hurt, it's not a problem.
That's why
that's also not the case. Like
that's why the test is important.
The test is important. That's one of the reasons why the test is important, because once you hurt, I mean, pain is an easy one to read. The harder one to read is just you've got poor recruitment patterns. And what you need to understand is what you train, you strengthen. Okay, I'm going to repeat that. It's very important. What you train is what you strengthen. So if you're doing a squat or any kind of a movement and there's a recruitment pattern that's less than ideal, that's the pattern that you're going to strengthen. That's the one you're going to turn into your normal pattern. And it's a good idea to train within or within those edges and keep moving that edge further and further and strengthen good patterning, because that's easier than erasing bad patterning. You don't want to develop. It's very difficult to take someone who's been squatting for, you know, every single week for years poorly all the way down. You know how hard it would be to correct that person's squat? It's very, very difficult, because yeah. I gotta like erase that old pattern, reintroduce a new one. It could take a year before that person gets comfortable, or even longer doing a better positioning. So definitely can squat too low. Stay within your edges. Bump those edges slowly. Good control, good stability, good mobility will determine how low you should go.
Well, just think about quality over just like trying to hit a marker. You know, like is everything, like do you have all those checkpoints accounted for?
Quick commercial break, you guys. We keep getting asked all the time, how can I support the Mind Pump family? Here's one of the best ways you guys can. You guys love that Chimera coffee that we have. Chimera coffee with a K. You go to chimeracoffee.com, put in the discount code MINDPUMP for 10% at the checkout. Also, if you guys want to know how I have this luxurious beard and you want one too, go to BigTopBeardCompany.com, put in the discount MINDPUMP again, but this time for 33% off. Also, you guys, if you guys have not tried Ben Greenfield's new bars out, they're fantastic. If you want some, go to BenGreenfieldFitness.com/NatureBite, put in the code MINDPUMP and get 10% off. Go check it out.
All right, our next question is from Fierce Phoenix. Do you think it would be better for women to eat and train according to their cycle?
Great.
That is an interesting question.
I'm an expert on this topic.
Great, actually. Great question.
I used to tell clients to like load up on the spinach and the raisins and banana and stuff all around period time.
So this is a...
I used to hand out to my ladies like this big salad, this big salad recipe I had put together.
Why are you laughing, Justin?
I don't know. I'm just listening to Adam in his period time. Adam, you go, ladies, here's a cornucopia of...
you know, it's funny.
Adam is not known for his couth.
This is the difference between Justin and I, for sure. Yeah. Justin would be like, I can imagine so a client trying to talk to him about his period and be like, fuck that, we ain't talking about that. Where I'm like, I would totally sit down and like, let's talk about this.
Well, the difference between me and
you're
you,
right? I don't talk about.
As I'll be like, so around the time of your menses, that's how I would say it. Yeah. And Adam's like, is it period time yet? Let's talk about nutrition.
Time, it's that's period it. Time.
You're right.
Yeah. Have a banana. Here you go.
Good for that's. So here's the thing. Does it make a difference in your nutrition and exercise? Definitely. Absolutely. You're having changes in hormones in your body, and things are happening in your body.
You're losing a ton of red blood cells, right?
You're losing, obviously, blood, but you're also having changes in hormones like progesterone and estrogen that are designed to make you first more fertile, and then now you don't have the, you know, now you're getting rid of what you didn't use, and your body changes throughout this entire cycle. So training and nutrition can change. Now, I've had good success with female clients around their period in some very easy to remember basic ways. One of which is, now we always advocate undulating your calories. Okay. So what that means is whatever your calorie maintenance is, let's say you eat 2,000 calories a day and that keeps you where you're at and you're happy where you're at. I don't ever recommend people always eat 2,000 calories a day. I recommend some days are way under 2,000 calories, some days are 2,000 calories, and some days are way over. And I recommend undulating because it tends to prevent this metabolic adaptation where people's metabolisms tend to slow down. It's also psychologically beneficial because people have days where they eat more, which is great because they get to eat more. And there's also days where they have to eat less, which is great because it resensitizes their body to certain foods and flavors and tastes and all that good stuff. And so with women during their cycle, I'll tell them, let's have you eat more on those days when you want to eat more, because that definitely happens. Their appetite will definitely go up at certain times during this period. And so I'll say, hey, those are the days we're going to bump calories. Now, you can only imagine how fucking happy they were to hear that shit, because for some of them, it was a struggle to maintain their food intake when they're having, you know, strong cravings or just more hunger for food. The other thing is I would also have women, many times I would recommend that they supplement with evening primrose oil. Evening primrose oil is one of the few things that has proven benefits to prevent things like cramping and just overall general fatigue and malaise during PMS and during their period. And lastly, depending on the female and how heavy her cycle was, I would recommend sometimes that they would take a multivitamin right around the time when they were actually having their period. I never or really rarely ever recommended people.
Now, what's
take a
the whole multivitamin? What's the theory behind
nutrient
it?
Loss?
Well, of course, nutrient. All the nutrients, though.
You know,
I would think like iron and things like that, but why everything?
You would think iron, but iron's an interesting one to supplement with. You don't really ever want to supplement with iron unless you're.
Well, I don't
iron.
Think you supplement. That's why I said the comment about the raisins and the spinach. I normally make sure they're getting a lot of iron in their diet going into that around that time.
Yeah, no, it's more so because of just general nutrient loss. And this is anecdote, by the way. There is no evidence to support what I'm saying besides evening primrose oil. There's evidence to support that. But with the multivitamin, I just noticed anecdotally that with women, with female clients, my ex-wife was like this as well, that when they would take a multivitamin while they were on their period, they felt they would just start to feel better and they'd have better color in their face, because sometimes you'd see like the paleness thing going on. As far as training is concerned, always listen to your body. And one of the things that, in my experience, I've trained a lot of people, so I've trained a lot of men and women, and a lot of women would experience anxiety right around the time of their PMS or their period. And so the training would change accordingly. So I would have them, and tell them about this is to say, look, you know what things you can do that make you feel better when you're anxious. What are they? And they would list them. You know, from an activity basis, like, okay, yoga makes me feel better. Meditation makes me feel better. Walking outside makes me feel really good. I'd say, okay, we're going to replace your other forms of exercise with those things. And as far as resistance training is concerned, when you come in here and lift weights with me, we're going to focus on form. We're going to focus on range of motion. The routine's going to be much slower. We're going to avoid, sometimes I would avoid direct core work because they would feel bloated in their midsection, which would of course reduce activity of the core muscle. So why am I going to target the core when we're just going to end up solidifying a strange recruitment pattern, one that is not ideal? So I would avoid direct work, and you know, so we would end up slowing things down. So, but this speaks to it. This doesn't just speak to women. I think the ultimate, or at least the underlying theme here is what?
Listen to your body.
Yeah, I mean. Mm. Is that advice any different for men? You know what I mean? I mean,
right. If I had the same thing you just suggested, it would be the same way I would treat like maybe a client who comes in to me who's an older guy, who's a business guy, high stress level, low back pain. So you're going to avoid the area that's bothering him. It doesn't make sense to stress that area out. You're not going to do something super high intensity with that person because they're already stressed to the max at work. The first time you're going to do work with them, that's not ideal. That's not what's going to really help them. So I mean, it's really learning that. I think that's the true art is helping people. And we talk about this on the show all the time, is that relationship with yourself, that relationship with exercise, and then that relationship with food, and then becoming aware of it. And that's the first step. You know, I was actually breaking this down to my hairstylist yesterday. She was actually needed like some words of wisdom, she said, with her health and fitness journey. And that this is what I gave her was the, you know, the relationship. She's, oh, I, you know, I said, well, you know, you say that, but when you look at certain foods, and she does this all the time where she'll talk about a food and she'll be like, I don't want to have that because that'll make me fat. I'm like, well, that's not a good relationship with food when you say that. And I, oh, I know, I don't really mean, I know, but you do. You keep saying that. So think about that for a second. Like, you are connecting that food with you either being skinny or fat when it shouldn't be that way. It should be about how it makes you feel and how it nourishes your body. But you first have to learn how to connect those dots before you start to look at food that way. What you first have to start by looking at yourself differently, right? Like you always say, Sal.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. You know, it, kind of an epiphany that I've had lately talking to some of the gut health experts we've been around, like Dr. Ruscio and the gentlemen's from Thrive Podcast, which I don't think will be aired when this is up yet, but that'll be coming up soon. I've had a few epiphanies talking to them because we're discussing things like hunger and appetite and cravings, and I'm reading all these studies about how if you lose sleep, now there's several studies that show like if you're slightly sleep deprived, you end up craving, you know, foods that are higher in sugar and foods that tend to be processed. And if you're depressed, these are the things that tend to happen to your appetite. And so I'm thinking to myself like, okay, these are easier to test types of things. And then we're talking to Dr. Ruscio about the body signaling system of thirst and knowing when to drink water and how accurate it actually is at regulating how much water you need. Hunger is really the same thing. And the problem is that our bodies are so out of whack with sleep, with activity, with our connections to people, with our thought processes, especially in modern times where everything is so in our face all the time. Go, go, go. Nobody ever shuts off. Nobody ever has a second to themselves to where it's quiet. Nobody knows how to sit by themselves. And our nutrition is all over the place and sleep and all this other stuff, that it, of course we deal with food problems. Like, of course we deal with all these issues because our signals are fucking all over. They don't reflect what they truly should reflect. We've thrown them all off. And so what the epiphany I had was, is if you place your body in a state of balance, and I hate to say balance, but that's just the only word I can think of balance from a whole perspective, everything, emotional, spiritual
equilibrium,
nutrition, sleep, food, all that stuff, then there is no diet. There is no activity. Your body will literally tell you what it needs, and it's a very good gauge. It will tell you when to stop eating. It will tell you when it's time to enjoy this glass of wine and this piece of cake because I'm in a social setting with these people that I'm connecting with. It'll tell you when it's time to move hard and fast and train a certain way. It'll tell you when right now I need to relax and let my body recover and rest. It'll tell you when I sleep more. It'll tell you when you need to sleep less. All these signals become very accurate and very clear. And I'm starting to realize that really the key to long-term fitness and health is learning how to hone on those and understand those, because then it's just you living. You know what I'm saying? It's no longer like watching what I need to eat, what I don't need, what I got to do here, what I don't want.
There's so many levels to that, bro.
So many levels.
I love when you say it so like...
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah. There's so many deep... It takes so many levels of awareness, because many times... And we talk about paradigm-shattering moments, right? Your paradigm will be shattered. There'll be things that you were doing that you thought you were doing right. There'll be things that you said a certain way that you realize, oh, that's really not me. Or there's things that you said you never would do that you end up doing because you know it helps you. Like, so much of that happens in that journey of figuring that out.
Well, you know
about
what?
Yourself, that you have to be open to that.
And another thing that, I mean, and one of the reasons why I'm at where I'm at with this is I read a study. Who posted it? Someone on our forum posted it, where they had overweight people either do a structured diet or just practice mindfulness every day,
mm-hmm.
or they had a control group that did nothing. The mindfulness group did Killed better it. Than everybody.
Wait. Explain the study again. Yeah. There's three groups.
They had three groups.
What was it? What are they studying? What's the test?
Weight loss, fasting glucose, weight loss, and blood markers of health.
Okay.
And so one group,
all those were separate categories, or just in general?
No, separate. So they took three groups of people. They used one as a control, so they said, don't do anything. We're just going to monitor you.
Okay.
Then they took a group and they said, you follow this diet. Like, we're going to give you a structured nutrition plan, okay? Then another group where they taught them how to practice mindfulness, which is like meditation, right? Where every day they had to sit down and do this practice of mindfulness. The mindfulness group.
What was that? Was it like just saying a chant to themselves, like, I am valuable? I should not put bad food in my mouth. Like,
No. Learning how to become the observer, learning how to become present. I don't know what their methods were, but I would assume it's a form of meditation.
Okay.
They did better than the other groups, and they speculate it's because they made better food choices and all that stuff because they were in a better state of mind. Fucking crazy, right? And it's so funny because I think
how much better though?
The psychology.
What was it? Yeah, what was it?
I'll look at the study again. In fact, we'll post the link in the show notes.
Were you surprised? Like, holy shit! Like, big time, or was it because
I was? What surprised me was two things. One, I literally brought that up 5 episodes ago. I said I would love to see a study that's like this, and then lo and behold, the study actually exists. But the thing that surprised me is kind of what we've been thinking and talking about, and now they've got a little bit of evidence to show that may be the case. We need way more studies, way more control groups to see if this is actually the case. But I would venture to say, man, you fix the mind, you fix that psychological piece, and then everything else kind of falls into place. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we had a great – what was it? Alvin with Ben Pekulski.
Simon and Theodore.
Yes. Oh.
No, his buddy Alvin, they go back like 12 years, had a good time. I mean, that was...
That was what he was talking about. Yeah.
Ben has him for that exact reason, I believe. I believe he's hired him as a full... Like,
yeah, he's really insightful. He goes deep for sure in that podcast.
Big time. Yeah. Big time for sure.
Our next question is from Zachary Watson 2017, who hates treadmills and ellipticals. He and his wife play basketball, tennis, and volleyball. How do those activities compare?
That's a very good question.
It's a good question. Mm-hmm. So basically, he's active outside doing things he enjoys versus getting on a treadmill and elliptical, which he fucking hates.
Right away, just so you know, too, easily we can do a whole list of pros and cons of both. Easily.
Yeah, I could sit here and on a comparison-to-comparison basis, if I factor out the fact that he likes one and hates one.
Right.
Yeah.
Then I could show you why one's better than the other. And, you know, okay, basketball, tennis, and volleyball.
Yeah, then you look at, like, joint health.
That's it.
And all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because basketball, tennis, and volleyball burn more calories, but they're more dangerous. Yeah. And the other ones are easier, but they burn blah, blah, blah. None of that matters.
No.
The only thing that matters here is that you like to do stuff with your wife outside, mm-hmm. and you hate doing your treadmill and elliptical.
And you're active constantly.
So the one I'm going to tell you to do is the one that you like, because that's the one you're going to do.
Now, that being said, if you're asking this question because you want to know how they compare, because does one of them burn more fat or burn more calories, the one that you don't do all the fucking time is the one that's going to burn the most calories, burn most fat. Because I get this question a lot with somebody who's like,
comparing cardio forms.
For the last 3 years, they play basketball Monday, Wednesday, Fridays in their league, and volleyball's on Saturday. And they've been doing that for 3 years because they love doing it. They're in leagues and all this shit. And they come to me and they want to lose 15 pounds. And I say, hey, I need you to get on the treadmill for an hour. And they go, oh, well, I play basketball on Mondays for an hour and Wednesdays for an hour. Like, so that is already factored into your norm, if that's your norm. And if you're wanting to know how they compare as far as burning fat, well, if you never get on the treadmill and the elliptical ever to train, and all you do for you've done for a long time is play basketball, your body's become very efficient at playing that sport. So you're now good at basketball, you're good at tennis, you're good at volleyball. Mm-hmm. The body is not having to work as hard as it used to have to work. If you never get on and do treadmill sprints or get on and do a Stairmaster or do something like that, it will be different. It'll be a different adaptation for your body, and so you will see greater change aesthetically by doing that.
And here's, well, this would be interesting actually, would be comparing groups of people. Here's another cool study, would be comparing groups of people who did the same amount of calorie burn and same amount of and cardio, but one group constantly changed their cardio.
So this is how the study goes. So there's three groups. One group does something different every single day. One group does exactly the same thing for 4 weeks. It was 4 weeks or 8 weeks. I can't remember how long the study. I think it was 8 weeks. Sorry, like 8 weeks. And then the other one changed it every 2 weeks. The one that changed it every 2 weeks saw the most, but barely outdid the person who changed it every single day. And then the one who saw the least amount of change was the ones that
I'm going to try and find that study. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, I read that a long time ago. Yeah. That's where you hear me come up when I tell people that, like, your body gets adapted to cardio within about 2 to 4 weeks. Mm. So I've said that before, and that's where I get those. That's where those numbers come from. I know a lot of people probably think I just pull shit out of my ass because I don't remember. I can't remember studies like Sal does. I read them somewhere, though, I promise.
You know, page reference.
I hate when people ask me exactly. They're like, could you tell me how to...
Is it a PubMed?
I'm like, I'm sorry, dude. I wish coming up through my 20s, I was like, as I was reading stuff, I was like, oh, I need to put this to the side like Sal did. File it away in that brain.
That was a Men's Fitness article. Remember? Oh, shit.
Yeah. I promise I'm not touting 2017.
Here's the other thing, too. There's a lot of benefits that you're getting from basketball, tennis, and volleyball that have nothing to do with the activity. It's the fact that you're enjoying time with someone you want to be with
right, and it's outside the sun. There's a lot. That's what I'm saying.
You're getting a lot of great health benefits.
I could write a whole list of pros and cons of both for sure.
Yeah.
And Sal said it best. The best answer is which one do you enjoy doing most? It's outside with your wife. That's a no-brainer. But I also think it's important because a lot of times when this question is asked, why they're asking is because they want to know if they need to do that in order to lose body fat, because that's what people are telling them to do, and they like playing basketball or doing these sports. Problem is, your body is pretty efficient at that. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see much aesthetic change if you've been doing that for quite some time.
Quick commercial break. Hey, people ask us all the time how they can support Mind Pump. Here's what you can do. You can go to www.brain.fm/mindpump and get 20% off Brain FM for meditation or focus. You can also go to audibletrial.com/mindpump and get a 30-day trial plus one free audio book. Lastly, you can go to getnatureblend.com/mindpump and you will get a discount on Ben Greenfield's CBD product.
Our next question is from Joe Bag of Donuts.
Yeah, good old Joey.
This is my cousin again.
Yeah. Please talk about breatharians, people who eat and drink nothing but air.
I didn't even think this was a real thing.
Why did we, this one?
So here's why I didn't want to answer this when we first wrote this question up. The reason why I don't want to answer it right away is because I don't want to breathe life.
Stop.
I know. Oh. I don't want to breathe life into
suck the air out of you.
Some bullshit that is going to get people killed. Okay, so there's people online. There was an article that was written. I think The Guardian wrote it. That should tell you enough right there. And it went viral, where this couple says that they barely or don't eat at all, and they survive on the energy of the universe.
Yeah, man.
And they said that all they ever have is like a tiny bit of soup, I think once a month or never. And they've been doing this for years and years and years. And they live because I guess they're like plants, and they can just...
Yeah.
Go outside and absorb sun energy and convert it, you know, through photosynthesis, which doesn't exist in mammals. There's actually a story of, I believe there's a few people that have died trying to do this. This is when I'm okay with that. Actually, in fact, if you think it's a good idea to survive with no eating and water, go ahead and do that, because we could use less people like you in the world. I mean,
dude, that was so wrong.
I know. Yeah, people actually did.
It's mean but true.
People actually fucking believe this and then push themselves to the point of death.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I just don't. Yeah. Like when you're getting all the signs from your body, like, I'm eating everything in my, you know, muscles and everything. Like, dude,
like,
come
really,
on.
You can't tell me that
you're
there was
power through
some
that?
Serious miserable days leading up to that death.
That's what
right?
I'm saying. It didn't happen.
It's not like when you starve to death, it's not like all of a sudden.
That's a long process.
That takes a long
it's
time
not like getting shot with
torture.
A bullet. It's like, you know, like day seven of almost dead. You're like,
universe, where are you?
Maybe it hasn't been sunny enough.
Yeah, I'm not using the energy effect. It'll happen eventually. So I just know
honey,
it.
Honey, breathe. Just breathe. Yeah.
Just keep breathing. Doesn't this?
How do you coach somebody like that?
God, this tells you the psyche of the human mind. How powerful we are at fooling ourselves so much that we'll literally fool ourselves to starving to death because we think.
I mean,
it's
how
good for it? I mean, it'll save a lot. I could see the. The pull of this, I can see the
how big is
like
this
it.
Community? It's not like it's
no.
not flat it's, Earth community.
There is no
size,
there is
right?
no community because
is it that big?
The community died.
They're dying off.
they're
getting yeah. blown.
There's
in
There's only
in
three
the
survivors. They've only been doing it for 3 months.
Dude, here's like I'm reading about one of them. Of course, he lives between California and Ecuador. Wow, why does California have these
fucking... How many ribs can you see?
And they have two kids. Please, don't tell me this is... You're actually... Of course they're not doing it. I'm looking at pictures of them.
It can't be real.
And they obviously eat. Yeah. Okay, there's no way. But it says here that...
What does that mean?
That because they don't look like... Like, if I looked at a picture of them
thick.
And they look like death, I'd be like, ooh, maybe they're doing something like... Right. That's what I would expect someone to look like if they didn't eat any food. No, they look fine.
This is like the guy who doesn't take shits.
Yeah.
Universe Twinkie, thank you.
Wow. Yeah. Look at this.
They're just like sneaking them in.
This is a quote. This is a quote from both of them. Humans can easily be without food as long as they are connected to the energy that exists in all things and through breathing. Well, see, that's where you're wrong, bitch. You don't need to breathe either. Energy will just hold your breath,
yeah.
And the energy will sustain you. Then it says, for 3 years, my husband and I didn't eat anything at all, and now we only occasionally, like if we're in a social situation. And then this is the wife. With my first child, I practiced a breatharian pregnancy. Hunger was a foreign sensation to me, so I fully lived on light and ate nothing.
Ooh, light.
So they actually did some research into this couple, and it was like the biggest... troll of all time. Like they did this was like all bullshit, and media went crazy and circulated it and made it a thing when it's not.
Of course.
Yeah. There's a few things.
You got me. It's like an article in The Onion. You don't realize The Onion wrote it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love those.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my favorite.
Yeah. Trump is deporting all women. Yeah. Holy shit. Oh, wait. It's The Onion.
His knee jerk. Like,
yeah. It's, gosh. Yeah. Anyway.
People get fooled.
People can be idiots. It's funny because things go viral and then people start believing them. But I'll tell you what.
You can fast for a long period of time, but you can not years, dude.
Exactly.
Get the fuck out of here. Yeah,
so like I bet
maybe 40 days, 40 nights.
Yeah, if they would have been a little more reasonable about that, yeah.
I wonder if some people are like, they buy into it and they're like, okay, let's see how the first 2 days goes because I don't know if I can survive.
Right.
And they make it 2 days and they're like, oh, I'm surviving.
There's something to this.
Energy off the universe. Yeah. Not realizing humans can go quite a while without food. Actually, there's a few things we know in science to be totally true about human metabolism. One of them is this. You need to eat food in order to live.
Yeah, that is a fact.
We'll leave it at that.
And taxes.
Check this out. Mind Pump is offering 30 days of coaching for free. Go to mindpumpmedia.com, register yourself. Again, 30 days of coaching for free. Also, if you'd like us to answer a question that you want to ask us, the place to ask it is on Instagram, and the page to ask it on is Mind Pump Media. Finally, we all have personal Instagram pages. Come take a gander at them. My page is Mind Pump Sal. Adam is Mind Pump Adam. And Justin is Mind Pump Justin.
So just the other day, Sal, you brought up Art of Charm. Man, and it had been a while since I had been on his podcast just because we've been so busy with all the podcasts we were doing, all the traveling we're doing. So I love to listen to Jordan. In my opinion, one of the, if not the best interviewer. And he's always got incredible guests on there. And I know you were just listening to the KGB guy not too long ago. So I get on there and I'm scrolling through and I find Tim Grover. And Tim Grover... I know I knew that name. I'm like, I start looking through all the notes, and he was one of the guys like that was helping out with Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Dwayne Wade. So he's been in some of the greatest athletes. And I know you don't know all those athletes. I know, right? Yeah. I know you don't know all those athletes' names, but right away I was drawn to that. And man, what a killer episode! And I'm here with Jordan right now. We have him in studio with us, and I just wanted to get a chance, Jordan. You got to tell these people what it was like to talk to this man.
This guy is intense. I mean, his book, first of all, is called Relentless, and he's like, I don't know if I can even make this comparison, but he's kind of like the Gary Vaynerchuk of sports, right. Although Gary Vaynerchuk is like this sports guy of business. But he's really intense, and you can tell that this is why guys like Kobe, Michael Jordan call him when they need to be at the top of their game. And he really talks a lot about what closers and coolers and cleaners do. These are like these three archetypes of high-performing athletes. And he talks about the concept of relentlessness, what it is, what it involves, that it can actually be taught, and that each of us has a trigger that puts us in the zone, which is great. And the really fascinating thing that came out of this episode, in my opinion, was something called the dark side. And this is what he's talking about when, like, Tiger Woods gets busted banging, you know, escorts, when all these other high-powered athletes get busted or get caught doing some shady, shady stuff, often having to do with sex or money or whatever. he says that the dark side is not just this side effect of being successful in life or sports or business. He said it's almost a requirement not to be a bastard, but to have this sort of like side of yourself that is not wholesome, that is just gritty. And it's not a side effect of success. It is part of what makes that person so intense that they can get it done on the field or in on the court. And that to me was worthy of discussion. We spent a lot of time talking about the dark side, how to harness it, not let it control you. So I loved this episode with Tim Grover.
Yeah, he mentioned some cool stories about Michael Jordan, and can you go into that just for a second?
Oh yeah, so one of the stories about Jordan that was funny and took me, I asked him about this and how this works. Michael Jordan used to go into the locker room of the opposing team. So it'd be like, you know, Pistons, Bulls in the 90s or whatever. He'd walk into the locker room of the Pistons and he'd pretend he was saying hi to somebody. You know, he'd be like, oh, what's up, man? Just want to come in and say hi. And he'd just walk around their locker room like he owned the place. So, of course, you know, if the coach is talking or the players are talking or they're warming up, stretching, getting ready, he just walks in like, what's up, everybody? You're in my house. This is what's, and now they're thinking about him. They're not thinking about the game. And this is all deliberate. And Michael Jordan talked about this after he retired, about how his performance would start before he would get in the car. So he'd only drive like a washed car, even if it's raining, to the venue, get out, say what's up to a few fans, dress to the nines. He's not wearing a custom three-piece suit when he wakes up. And he puts that on, gets in the car, takes it off immediately, and gets ready. It's a performance from when he gets out of the house, and it doesn't end until he goes home. And he talks about this in detail on this episode.
So badass. So badass. Episode 636. Make sure you guys check that out. That's on iTunes. Obviously, you're listening to a podcast right now. All you have to do is search Art of Charm.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.